From the enchanted Rainbow Room high atop St. Pete Athletic in the Warehouse Arts District, this is Arts and Live, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. I am Bill DeYoung, and my guest today is Anthony Gervais from American Stage. Hello.
Hey, Bill.
So you are, what do we call, it's interim artistic director now, right?
That's correct. Right. That is the title.
That sort of means that you have a great job, but it's not really yours, or you know, there's been some changes over there, as a lot of folks know. But interim basically, are you signing checks? Are you doing the whole bit now?
I'm doing the whole bit. The interim portion of the title is the placeholder for this kind of uncertain moment that we're in, mm-hmm. as ourselves and the board and our strategic consultants are taking stock of everything. But
yeah,
on a day-to-day basis, I'm doing the job.
Well, this season was already chosen. I understand that you switched some things around.
Correct.
Let's talk about the new season. You open with the Janis Joplin show, which is a one-woman show with a band?
No, it's actually a five-woman show. I know.
And a night with Janis Joplin's?
Indeed. So that title has remained. That was previously programmed. And
yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a really exciting show. I'm excited about it. It's Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
And then the other four women are called the Joplinaires, and they essentially take on at different times the roles of her biggest musical influences, which were folks like Aretha Franklin and Nina Simone.
Oh, and it's Odetta. And
Odetta,
I think. Yeah, right.
And Bessie Smith. She was really into blues,
yeah,
and R&B, yeah, and soul music. So there are these, it's Janis Joplin doing her thing and her music, and then these four iconic Black performers.
Who plays Joplin? Do we know?
We do. Her name is Laura Fry, and she actually was the standby for two productions of the show recently.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the offstage cover in the last two productions. There was one at Florida Studio Theater in Sarasota.
Oh, yeah.
Not too long ago, 6 months ago or something. So she's done the show twice as the standby, and now she's stepping into the role full time.
She lives in Sarasota?
No, she's not local.
Wow.
So we're bringing her in, but the rest of the cast is local, which I'm very excited about.
There's a live band, I'm assuming.
There is.
You got, yeah, rock and roll dudes.
Absolutely.
Ladies.
Absolutely.
Folk. Very cool. That opens September 15th. One of the things that I did want to ask you about is that with this new amount of changes, not all of them sweeping, but they're new changes, is that Beyond the Stage is taking a respite, which you were heavily involved in.
Indeed.
Yeah. Is that just a matter of finances, or just part of the regrouping process?
It's a little of both.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a matter of finances. It's also the fact that, you know, we have reduced staffing capacity right now.
Sure.
Previously, as associate artistic director, mm-hmm. was the lead producer on all the Beyond stuff.
Yeah.
So I oversaw those budgets, the casting, pre-production.
You wrote a couple of them, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. That's why this is a heartbreaking, you know, moment for me, where there's some sadness to it. But I mean, I think ultimately it's what we need to do to carry us forward,
yeah,
to season 50. Because like I was saying, I currently do not have an old me, you know? There's no associate artistic director right now. So it's allowing me and the rest of the company to put our focus on the main stage,
oh,
and
sure,
on Park, and doing that really well,
oh,
and,
sure,
and getting us in a more sustainable place.
And Park next year is what, Shrek?
Shrek the musical.
Yeah.
That's right.
Interesting. Can you say, I mean, was Into the Woods successful? You were in that, by the way. I mean, was it successful? Because there's been all this talk about Park not, you know, like, well, frankly, losing money. But every time I go, there's a million people there. I thought it was a great production, but did it work for everybody?
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good, really good production, too. It was really fun to be a part of.
Yeah.
Definitely had a great response. I would say it was successful in that measure. You know, the thing about Park is that it has almost never made money.
Right.
You know? And
right,
it's insanely expensive. And when we did the Save Park campaign a couple years ago,
yeah,
I think that was really the first time the awareness of that budget was brought to light. And even myself, who grew up going to Park,
yeah,
like every year, I had no idea. And obviously the costs have grown as the shows have evolved and over the years, the cost of everything has gone up. But I think we're at a point where it's like kind of a mission critical program for us. It's one of our most iconic programs. Uh-huh. So to me, getting it up to serve the community and have all those folks and all those kids and families being able to come experience that show is a success.
I mean, I know you can't speak for the board, but I mean, is the board dedicated to keeping Park going? You know, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, because for those reasons and more, because it's become such a tradition for a lot of people.
Absolutely. You know, when we were assessing this season and how we were going to move forward, you know, of course, it was talked about because everything was on the table at right. one point. But ultimately, we decided that this is something that is an iconic tradition and yeah. we need to keep doing it and continue investing in it. So that's why Shrek is happening in season 49. And I mean, I have every intention of us continuing that onward for 50.
Well, you just brought it up. American Saints will be 50 years old in 2027.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is a record around here. I've done a little digging. It wasn't hard, really, to figure out that it is the longest-lived professional theater around here.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, well, Oslo isn't here, and they've been around forever.
Yeah.
You know, they were around in the 70s. Well, so was American Stage. Wait a minute. Big plans for the 50th year? I mean, is the idea let's get our house in order and then 50 will be a bang up? Is that where we're headed here?
That's where we're headed. Mm-hmm. That's the hope, absolutely. And that's our plan. You know, I was associate artistic director for 2 seasons
right.
prior to this. So ever since I got there, we had this awareness of 50 looming on the horizon, you yep. know, because that's a big milestone. So yeah. I personally have been thinking about that for a long time and what I would like us to do or what kind of our programming could look like that 50th season. You know, we've done a lot of traditions with American Stage, with the park. We completed the August Wilson Century Cycle.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Which was something that I grew up attending as well. I thought that was a really iconic, big historical achievement for us as an organization.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of exciting opportunities for what we might do for 50, but whichever direction we go, it will definitely be a historic season, very much a celebratory season. And, you know, we're trying to do everything we can to set ourselves up for success for that.
Are you thinking about that, programming that season already? You and whoever else will be involved in it. I mean, are there thoughts, we'll do this, we'll do that?
Oh, I'm telling you, I've had scenarios in my head for a year or so now because
yeah.
there's so many iconic American works that to me feel like, oh, that would be a really ambitious piece for 50, or oh, this would be a great time for us to do that play. I won't drop any hints yet, mm-hmm. but I've certainly been thinking about 50 for a while.
Salesman, that kind of thing. Well, you listen, Anthony. I mean, you talked in the release when the season change was announced. You talked about iconic works of American theater, and yes. that made me think. Yeah, they're looking at, you know, more of the classic stuff, and maybe not the. You know, sometimes the cutting edge, it's all brilliant, but sometimes it's maybe keep audiences away. I mean, is that a consideration? You know, it doesn't have to be Carousel in Oklahoma exactly or The Sound of Music, but it should be material that resonates, the name recognition, right? Resonates.
Absolutely.
Resonates with people.
You know, that's always something we're looking to balance. I think we've done a lot of contemporary works
yeah.
in recent year.
Yep.
And I think there's no reason why a lot of those contemporary works couldn't be considered new American classics. You know, we've done we did a Kate Hamill piece last year.
Yes.
We're doing another Kate Hamill this year, her mm-hmm. adaptation of the Holmes and Watson universe, which is Mrs. Holmes and Mrs. Watson
yes.
in apartment 2B.
Yeah.
And
I had to add that last part on the title because I missed
the 2B, exactly.
2B or not 2B.
Indeed.
You know, yeah.
That is the question, Bill.
it's always the question.
You know, I think works like that represent a kind of new American
sure.
classic that I think will live on in the canon. And for me, it's about balancing that with, like you were referencing, some of the more true classic American drama or comedy. I think it's in our name, you know, and it's in our history. And what excites me about that is that there's so many opportunities to, through the design and the direction and the interpretation, like bring those classic pieces into a new point of view new light.
I've seen American Stage do it.
Absolutely.
You know, I've seen Jobsite and Freefall. I've seen everybody occasionally do that. It's like striking a balance, I think, is the tricky bit. I have to say, as long as you're here, that the Hot Wing King was one of the best shows I've ever seen in American Stage.
Thank you very much.
I think you were in the audience the day I was there.
I was, yeah. I saw you there.
It was you and me and about 40 little old white ladies. It was this tremendous, tremendous show about African Americans and homosexuality and stuff. And I was just thinking, wow, I wonder if this is what they expected. But it was great. What a great show that was. The actors were wonderful.
Thank you so much. I agree. I thought that was a fantastic production.
Yeah. And to me, I have to tell you, that kind of came out of left field because there was a lot of turmoil going on at the theater at that point. And okay, here's the end of the season. Oh, what's this one? Oh my God. Look at this. It's so good. And Lance Marquis Felton had a small role in it. I think he's going to be one of the really big actors around here soon.
I thought that was one of his best performances that I've seen from him. Very deep work.
Did you see him doing Malcolm X over at Stagework?
I sadly missed it.
Oh, it was so good.
I know.
It was okay.
But I'm a big fan of Lance's. We worked together in Bob Devin Jones's Hamlet for the first time a couple of years ago at the studio.
Yeah.
So I love working with Lance. I was glad we had him on Hot Wing King.
I want to talk, 12 minutes into the interview, I want to talk about this weekend's big event.
There's a lot going on around here. I know.
Which is American Stage's theater flea market. So basically, what you're cleaning out closets? Is that what's happening? It's costumes, it's props, it's furniture, set pieces. And there's something that I read that you're even like stuff from the offices, and it's like, look, here's Helen Murray, you know, make an offer. Sorry, Helen, I had to do it. You know, so tell
not for
us,
sale.
Yeah, tell us about it. You know,
well, you said it. You know, we have a huge backstock of costumes and props, some furniture items.
Do you need the space? Is that an issue?
Well, you know, there is an element of downsizing. A lot of our storage, certainly, but also it's just assessing how much we have and realizing if we only use a certain percentage of it, you know, allowing those things to take on a new life. Mm-hmm. I was in the costume shop today. A lot of the really good stuff we have is costuming.
Yeah.
And there's such a mix of like classic vintage pieces, you know, like blazers and dresses and dress shirts and suits and just really like sharp looking vintage wear that you could take to, you know, to dinner on Friday night or a wedding or whatever. There's everything like that. And then there's all this really unique, truly like costume pieces.
Oh, sure. Outer space.
Totally.
Oh, man.
Hand-stitched stuff, you know, stuff with sequins and patterns, and whether it's something you may want to pull for a Halloween party or, you know, something, a really specific, you know, maybe you're going to a gala or a costume thing or a themed party. So there's a lot of really fun stuff and a lot of really classic pieces, too. It's like going to the best curated vintage store you could find.
I mean, are there specific things? Do you anticipate someone coming up and saying, you know, I really want to find that incredible coat that such and such wore in this play I saw in 1997? You know, is going to be that specific?
You know, it depends.
That's a little weird, that question, but you know what I mean.
Well, it depends on what they're looking for. We do have some specific pieces, absolutely, like Belle's dress from Beauty and the Beast in the park a few years ago.
Oh,
will be there.
Hold that one aside for me, will you?
Oh, Bill, you'd look great in yellow. We do have some of those iconic pieces. And those will be, you know, priced more as specialty items versus a lot of the other stuff is kind of priced to move, if you will.
Yeah.
But if there is something specific they're looking for, our costume shop manager, our team has been combing over this stuff like for weeks.
Talk to me about the props and I mean, are there masks too? And, you know, things that people would, or helmets and
a little bit of stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of furniture, small furniture items. And I kind of think of a lot of it as like knickknacks and
Paddywhacks.
Brick-a-back, if you will.
Well, that works, too.
Yes, paddywhacks, indeed.
Knick-knacks and paddywhacks. What was the season that had Viet Gone in it? You remember that one? You had an artist do all the posters that year, and that was a really cool season for poster art. Are those the sorts of posters we're talking about?
There will be some posters like that. We have a lot of old memorabilia. Mm-hmm. A lot of it we are holding on to for, you know, like archival purposes, especially looking at season 50 next year.
Sure.
But we do have some old posters and memorabilia. We have some iconic stuff, as you said. I pulled a couple myself a while ago, some mm-hmm. of those vintage Shakespeare in the Park posters.
Oh, yeah.
Just really cool designs. And for, you know, big fans of the theater, there's some nice traditions there.
Let's talk specifics, really. It is Friday, which you're listening to this, is today, Friday from 3 to 8 p.m. This is in the theater.
It's in the theater.
Is it on the main stage?
It's on the main stage. It's in the lobby. It's all over the second floor, but you'll be shopping racks on the main stage.
All right. Shopping racks.
It'll be great fun.
3 to 8 p.m. today. It's 9 to 4 Saturday. And if you don't know, American Stage is at 163 3rd Street North, right across from Williams Park. And there's always a place to park if you look hard enough. Parking is always an issue when I go downtown, but that's another thing. Friday, you're calling the first dib sale.
Indeed.
I love that. It's like, this is all the good stuff will still be here today, 3 to 8.
If you're really excited, if you're a big vintage clothing fan, or if you just really want to get in there, that is your time.
Okay, fair enough.
First dibs. Otherwise, we'll see you bright and early Saturday. And everything must go.
Yeah, so we can haggle like we're in a Middle Eastern market or something.
You know, things will be priced pretty fairly, I think, but we're not opposed to some haggling.
All right,
you know, we want to move this stuff, so we want to get it to a good home.
Nothing like a good haggle.
And you know, the bar will be open as well, which is, I think, worth noting. You can come make a whole little afternoon of it. Grab a beverage, meet your friend,
cocktail and haggle, folks.
Yeah,
there's your Saturday, Anthony. We have a few minutes left, and I wanted to ask you about yourself. You and I met. I think you were. You were major domo at the Off Central for a while when we met, and then you went. Then you appeared. Well, help me out first. Where are you from?
I'm from here, Bill.
Hey, me too, buddy.
Born and raised.
Yeah, where'd you go to high school?
PCCA at Gibbs.
All right, you're another one of them.
I'm one of them. Yeah, we're everywhere.
So you're also an actor and a playwright and a director, and you know, if one reads the arts coverage in the Catalyst, one knows about Anthony Gervais because he's done all this stuff. Where does your heart lie? Now you're an administrator. Can you do all this? It's like, one day I'd like to just be an actor. You know, where's that?
You know, I've always enjoyed doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
One of the beautiful things about PCCA was the training there was very diverse, and I had playwriting and directing opportunities at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, working at the Studio 620 when I was a youngin, was where I kind of cut my teeth on just jumping in on the project, whether they needed a director or a stage manager or whatever it may be. So I've always had an affinity for all of those art forms, and I just love being a theater maker. So I really do enjoy bouncing between all of them. So the gift of being a producer is that it's, you know, allowed me to exercise all of those muscles at different times.
A Tony of all trades, as they say. How's that? So, American Stage, how did that come into your orbit? Or they into yours, you into theirs?
Well, like I said, I grew up going to the park shows every year.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, my mother and I would go and meet a family friend every year. So I had fond memories of that. When I was getting older, in high school, we would go see shows often in the theater. I remember going to see some of the August Wilsons on like the school field trips. Very formative for me. And so when I moved back to St. Pete, I went to college in Boston, and I was away for a few years after school. And when I moved back here, I spent a couple years at the Off Central Players, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And after I left that job, I was kind of freelancing for about 6 months. I was working with the school system a little bit and working with Bob Devin Jones, as we mentioned, on Hamlet. And I saw the associate artistic director job became available. Hmm. And I had worked with American Stage, and I had worked with Helen previously. I was in Ragtime. And
I was just going to say, I think you were in Ragtime. I almost just said that.
I was. Wow. You remembered. That's yeah, sweet.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. You know how sweet I am, man.
I sure do, Bill. I was in Ragtime, and I was the swing on Indecent, which is the first time I worked with Helen. And so
Indecent was great.
It was a beautiful show.
That was a great show.
It really
show.
Was.
Emma Friedman was in it. Was that her name? Emma,
yes.
Who is Noah's sister.
Correct.
And I remember I talked to her for that because it was just an impressive show.
It was so a beautiful show. Yeah. I agree. I was grateful to be even a small part of it. So after that show, it was not long after that that the job became open. And because I had a relationship there and with the theater, I kind of moved pretty aggressively on that and said, hey, this is for me. I want to be here. And I was very fortunate that I was able to land that job and kind of be a voice for the locals in the room.
It's also probably, I'm going to just throw a wild guess out here, but it's probably, as an actor, nice to sort of know, well, they're auditioning for this next show and you have an in. Let me go audition. I know it's coming. I can go and I'd like to be in this, you know. Seeing you in Into the Woods, I mean, that was that. Oh, there's Anthony again, you know.
That was definitely a great joy to get back on stage. I hadn't been in a musical since Ragtime, which was a couple years ago.
Right,
so
right.
I was grateful to do that.
I remember the one you did with Sophie at Off Central.
Correct.
Which was a musical.
Correct.
You know, so this guy can sing it. This guy can do it all. So we'll close by saying I imagine that there's a big search out for the next artistic director. I mean, is your hat in the ring or your – is that what they say? Your hat's in the ring. Yeah. Okay. I mean, is that something you'd like if they would consider that?
You know, Bill, that is
awkward
that is
moment.
That is the big question. No, I'm pausing pensively to consider this. You know, my hat, it's the hat I'm currently wearing. So I would say it's certainly in the ring because I love this theater and I love this city and I love doing this work. So I think the future is a little uncertain as far as the long-term implications of that role. But certainly for the present moment and for the rest of season 49, as we look ahead, I'm very grateful to be in this role and kind of helping us steer towards the clearer pastures.
Anthony, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Bill. It's always a pleasure.